Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your questions or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. We call it Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait. Call now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about identity. Who are we as people? And those of us who have come to know Jesus Christ personally, who have been born again, have been born again into the family of God, and we are called children of God. That's who we are. That's our identity. And we see that throughout the Word of God. But sometimes we don't really think through the implications. As I said, we're born again into the family of God. So we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's a wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 2 that really talks about the implications of what it means to be a child of God. In verse 10 of chapter 2, the writer says this, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." And he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family." So Jesus Christ is the one who makes us holy, and those of us who are made holy, now we're a part of the same family. So Jesus, and here is the implication. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. When Jesus Christ looks at you as a child of God, he's not ashamed to call you a brother. He's not ashamed to call you a sister. Why? Because we're of the same family. That's good news.
Yes.
A lot of times family members are ashamed one of another. I know kids that are ashamed of their parents. I know parents who are ashamed of their kids. And I know brothers and sisters who are ashamed of each other just because they've done something that is out of character to the family, that has brought shame on the family. But Jesus Christ, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And certainly all of us have done things that can bring shame upon the family of God. But even then, Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Talk about some good news. Talk about something that'll put a smile on your face. And I tweeted this verse earlier today and prefaced it with that. This will put a smile on your face. And I think it's exactly true, realizing that Jesus Christ is not ashamed of you. That's good news.
That is good news. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. The lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. We are here to proclaim the fullness of the Basic Gospel. And, of course, we are here to offer a live program so you can be a part of it. That's why we are live, so that you can be a part of the broadcast, pose your question or your particular issue. We'd love to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377. Guy's been holding on to this particular email for a little while, and it gets into a little bit of a challenge, but I thought we might go ahead and address it right now on this first opportunity to answer a question on today's broadcast. This is from Jinder. Says, "I've been listening for a while and have noticed that you never say anything about what happens after you accept Jesus Christ into your life, other than you continue to be who you are. If we accept Jesus Christ and continue to live in sin without making any effort to live life in the likeness of Christ, then how are we any different from unbelievers? You say that Christ comes to live in you after you have accepted him as your Savior. However, you don't ever elaborate about what we as Christians are to do once we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Would you please discuss this on the air or email back to me?" It always sounds like what you're saying is accept Jesus and continue living the way you have, commit all the sins Jesus never did. I understand Jesus took away all of our sins, but that doesn't give us the right to live in sin. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Well, thanks for bringing that to the airwaves. I actually responded to Jinder by email, and I encouraged him to keep listening, because we don't just talk about, you know, saying a prayer and saying that you're a child of God and then going out and doing everything that you want to do or anything that you want to do. We don't talk about that at all.
No.
We spend a lot of time talking about the conversion moment, simply because that is huge. What God does for us at that moment in time is radical, and it is life-changing. And I think that's the operative word, conversion into Christ Jesus, going from death to life, is transformational. It is life-changing. We're different than what we were before. I was a sinner. I was dead spiritually. I was in darkness. I was lost. Now that I am in Christ, I am alive. Jesus Christ lives in me through His Spirit, and I am to be led by His Spirit. And as I am led by His Spirit, I'm going to see transformation take place inside of me from the inside out. That's what it means to be a Christian. So what do we do once we're saved? I think the idea here that he was bringing up is that we need to get rid of all sin in our lives. Well, that's not the goal of the Christian life, is it, Richard?
No, it's not. The goal is to learn how to love. I like the way John Lynch put it in his book, The Cure, which we were using a couple of months ago. He says, if you focus on stopping sinning, you may get a little bit better, but you'll never learn how to love. If you focus on learning how to love as Christ loves you, you will find yourself both loving and getting rid of some of the sin, because you can't help it. That's what the Spirit does in us. It's part of this recreation, this new person that we've become in Christ.
Yeah, it's learning to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. Paul put it this way in Galatians 5, 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So what are we called to do as children of God? To trust Jesus, to walk by faith in Jesus, and have that faith be expressed in love one to another. That is the Christian life. So what are we supposed to do? Trust the Lord. Walk by faith. Abide in Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Those are all phrases that teach the same thing. Now, we need to maybe spend a little more time. What does that look like? What does it mean to trust the Lord? Well, I think there's this attitude of thankfulness. If you're trusting the Lord, I think you're going to see a heart that says thank you. Thank you for what Christ has accomplished for us. I think you're going to see rest. I think you're going to see a heart at rest, that we're not striving to try to earn God's love and acceptance. We're at rest because Jesus Christ has done the work. I think we're also going to see a heart that's available, that says, Lord, I want to offer myself up to you. See, we make choices all the time in life. As lost people, we offered our bodies to sin. That's what we did, and sin controlled us. And now, as children of God, we've been set free from sin and death. We are no longer over there. We've died to unbelief. We've died to sin. Why would we want to live in it any longer? That's Paul's question. And that makes sense. I don't want to go back there. I want to move forward. How do I move forward? By making myself available to the living Christ and allowing him to live his life through us.
Yeah, I like what Paul says in Titus. This was a life changer for me. Chapter 2, starting in 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. The law can never do that. The law can point out that I'm falling short, but it can't teach me how to say no. Only the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Can do that.
Can teach me how to say no and teach me how to live godly and an upright life in this present generation as I wait for the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, that's by faith expressed in love to others. We see in several different passages in the New Testament about learning to overcome spiritual warfare. We have an enemy. So part of this faith in Christ Jesus allows us to stand firm against our enemy and against the enemies that are out there in this world. We learn how to use the Word of God in such a way that righteousness starts to flow out of us. But it all gets down to walking by faith.
Yes.
And if we will grab hold of that, I think we will grab hold of what this Christian life is all about.
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, we encourage you to drop us a note. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, we'd be glad to do that. You can find an email link when you visit our website. That's, of course, at basicgospel.net. And while you're there, be sure, if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we go to our first caller, I want to remind our listeners that we have a new product that's going to be coming out fairly soon. It's called Stand, How to Find Solid Footing in a Broken World. If you want to know more information about that, we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and subscribe to our email list. We will be sending out information on this product. As a matter of fact, an email went out today about this product. We're very, very excited about what this product can do in people's lives. We need to learn how to stand in this, yes, in this broken world. We need to know where we can put our feet so that we can be secure. And I think that's one of the big things that we all want in life, is to know that we're secure. We want financial security. We want relationship security. We want job security. We want all of those types of securities. Well, the world doesn't offer solid footing on any of those things. Yeah. We can think we're financially secure, and then a war will happen in the Middle East, and all, yes, the financial markets tank, and our life savings goes down the drain. We think we can have job security, and all of a sudden the company closes, and we're out on the streets. That's just the way of this world. But there is a place that we can find real security, and that is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will put our feet there, if we will stand solidly on the life of Christ, on the cross of Christ, we're going to be secure in this world. Well, this series is all about finding that solid footing, finding security where you are in life. It's going to launch here fairly soon.
Yep.
Sign up to get information. All the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net. Just click the subscribe link and follow the instructions.
Indeed. Well, again, plenty of time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. We are live so that you can partake of the broadcast, not just partake, but be a part of it, 1-800-677-9377. If you've got a question or something you'd like us to discuss, call right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Mark, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mark.
Hello, this is Martin.
Hi, Martin.
I said it wrong.
Hi, Martin.
Okay, hello there. I know I called before a couple of times. Praise the Lord. Well, the reason why I called, because I wanted to ask, is it true that we're sinning by ignoring somebody? And why is that? Certain people, for example, they're believers in Christ, but sometimes they're a little mean. They can be, how can I tell that? Nobody's perfect, you know? Certain people just backslide. And the Bible says we're to be careful, you know. Refrain from hard speaking, something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're to be gentle in speech. Our speech is to be seasoned with grace. We're to be kind. That's all part of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. But again, that's an outflow of this life of faith. So we can work at things. I mean, the lost world can work at it being a little more civil in their conversation, and they do. Ours is a natural kindness that flows out of this grace of God that we're experiencing each and every day in Christ. But Mark, a lot of times, you know, you're talking about ignoring people, and you know, James talks about that sometimes, that you know, we can see people in need and we can just go up to them and say, you know, I hope everything's okay, and then we'll just go on our merry way. Well, a lot of times we don't like the hard work of love. And love is something that compels us to roll up our sleeves and to get involved in people's lives. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we've got our own issues that we're so worried about that we don't even see the needs of others. You know, there are folks that will go into church and they'll say, you know, I was a visitor at a church and nobody said anything to me. Well, did you ever think that most of those guys were having problems too, and maybe their families were messed up and they were so concerned about what was going on in their lives that they didn't even just put two and two together that there's other folks here? So a lot of times we need to take the initiative. We need to step up to the plate and shake people's hands and smile at them and those sort of things. And maybe we can be a blessing into other people's lives. And I think that's what the grace of God enables us to be, is a blessing in other people's lives. As we learn who we are in Christ, as we become more and more secure in our relationship with Christ, as we get grounded in the love of God, and we come to this point that we know that we know that we know that God loves us, then we start seeing freedom take place in our lives to reach out into the lives of others. So it's that's why we have to continue to encourage people to grow in the grace of God and to grow in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that their sins have been forgiven, to know that they have a new identity, to know that they've died to sin and been raised to walk in the newness of life. These are the important truths that transform us from the inside out.
Hallelujah. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Martin. Thanks for your call. Hope that helped.
Yes, indeed.
It helped.
Well, we sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and talk with Paul listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Paul.
It's not Paul's call. Greetings in the name of our crucified and risen Lord.
Well, and to you as well. What's on your mind today?
I don't know why so many theologians claim that the rapture is before the Great Tribulation, when it says in the book of Revelation in chapter 20 that this is the first resurrection, that's after the tribulation.
Well, Carl, there are so many different thoughts and ideas and theologies about end times. What the Bible teaches is the Lord's coming back. There's going to be a great day of God's wrath. That wrath is not going to be directed toward believers. We're saved from the wrath of God. We're secure in Christ. In Him there is no condemnation, so we can be confident of that. We can be assured of that. And there's no reason for us to fear the future. So some folks think that Jesus is going to come and take the church out before this great day of wrath, this day of tribulation. Others believe it's going to be afterwards. Well, we're going to find out. But if you're in Christ, you've been marked by the Holy Spirit. You belong to God. You're a child of God. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brother. He's not ashamed to call you sister. So rest in that. That's where you take your stand right now.
Absolutely.
Well, Carl, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
1-800-677-9377. Still some time on the clock. We want to hear from you again. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joe listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
All right. I just got a quick question now. I was watching the film Noah. I don't know if you guys watched that film or if you guys view that.
I have not seen it, but I think
I haven't seen it either.
Richard hasn't.
I did, yes.
Bob Davis saw it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Quick question now. In the movie, I was trying to explain it, but I couldn't really explain it to my kids because I was watching it with them. And I think personally it was a pretty good movie, but the only thing that my kids really was asking the question is with the fallen angels that helped Noah build the ark. How true is that, you know, with the fallen angels and whatever the, that they was trying to, like, you know, I don't know if it was something, you know, like more. I don't know exactly what it was. If you could explain to me, I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay, Joe, we sure appreciate it.
They took a lot of liberties with that.
That's what
movie.
I've heard. It doesn't follow the biblical narrative, and it seems I've even heard, and I'm not sure if this is true, but they took different elements from different stories and put it into the Noah story, and so the chronology isn't. Some of the chronology isn't right, but it's just a movie. I mean, it was Hollywood's attempt to bring in special effects and make a cool movie out
of
it.
And they did that. They certainly did the special effects well.
Out of the Noah story. And it certainly, when it was, you know, in the theaters and folks were going to see it, and it was creating a lot of buzz. There was conversation. So I thought it was a great opportunity for Christians to take advantage of something that Hollywood put out there to drive people to the biblical narrative, to talk to people about what the Bible actually had to say and why that story of Noah was so vitally important. Well, the ark was God's plan of salvation for the people of that day. It was symbolic of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's our ark. We get into him. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we get into Jesus, and he's the one that protects us from the wrath to come. That is the good news. And so anyone can take that story, can tell people God's plan of salvation, and encourage them to trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
So we had a great opportunity there. Well, let's go back to New York, and we'll talk to Cecile. Hi, Cecile.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. Can't complain.
Yeah, you can't complain with that, can you?
No, I can't. I received, someone handed me something today at work, and she said it was from her church, and it says, "Has your life been attracting bad luck?" And when you open it up, it says, it gives the date, and it says, you will receive a free blessed rose to attract the negativity from your life.
I think I would Cecile, I think I would just throw that in the trash because it's not the message of the Bible.
Exactly. And I'm a little bit concerned that a church is handing something out like that.
Well, there's a lot of churches out there that don't adhere to the gospel message. They're simply there to offer kind of a Christianized version of, you know, have your best life today type of thing. But the gospel is all about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And connecting us to his great love so that we can say exactly what you said when you started the program. I'm in his favor. I'm highly loved. That's what the gospel does. It brings us to that point where we know, regardless of what's going on in our circumstances, that the love of God is there for us. Well, Cecile, thanks for your call today. Sure appreciate it. Nice to hear from you.
And to Martin, Carl, and Joe for calling as well. We appreciate hearing from you. Friends, this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive the CD series by Bob Christopher called When God Is For You. If you are ready to learn the truth about God's ever-present love for you, if you're ready to recognize the truth about who you really are as a Christian, then this rich and practical CD series is for you. It's also ideal for sharing with anyone who needs to know God's promise to work all things together for our benefit. Request your copy today with a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Visit us at basicgospel.net or phone your gift and your request to 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Learn to live in the confidence that God is for you. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis, and God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.